Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Imazu et al. Titled, Pathophysiological Impact of Serum Fibroblast Growth Factor 23 in Patients with Non-Ischemic Cardiac Disease and Early Chronic Kidney Disease. This article published online September 12, 2014. My guests today are Associate Editor Leon DeWint, Lead Author and Associate Editor Masafumi Kitakaze, and Expert Thomas Toom. Let's get started.
Thanks, Kara, and a warm welcome to Masafumi and Thomas to discuss this very interesting paper that was recently accepted. I would like to ask Thomas to start with his first question.
I also think this is a very interesting finding you made. I just wondered, very often our patients, they have also other diseases, for instance, other ischemic diseases or other inflammatory diseases. And I just wondered how specific your findings are. So the question is if other diseases would also have effects on the FGF23 levels.
Thank you very much, Thomas. That's a very important question to understand the present result. We found that a TNF-alpha or IL-6 has a significant relation to FGF23 levels in univariate analysis, but a significant correlation has lost when we enter the factor of heart failure and perform the multivariate analysis. This suggests that heart failure itself, including the inflammation response, increases serum FGF23 levels. So on the other hand, in the patient with ischemic heart failure, we found that FGF23 increases to the same extent seen in the present study, suggesting that heart failure itself again increases FGF23 levels. We have not checked the relation between acute myocardial ischemia and FGF23 levels, but we speculate that stress to the kidney is a primary factor to induce the relation between FGF23 and cardiac function, and myocardial ischemia itself does not increase FGF23 levels unless renal function is attenuated. And we have not checked the other disease condition on the effect of FGF23 or not. Thank you very much.
Okay, Masafumi, so thanks for that. And I was also wondering, since we are working with patient cohorts, and of course there's always some variability between patients, do you think that biological differences such as age or gender could affect the FGF23 levels?
Oh, thank you very much. That's also a good question. We performed a cohort study using the residents in Aritacho, and we found that FGF23 is elevated when cardiac function is just a little bit attenuated. So I believe that FGF23 is a kind of a factor to decrease the cardiac function. And we also checked the effect of the age and sex on FGF23 levels. We found that either age or sex statistically did not affect FGF23 levels using multivariate analysis. However, when we analyzed the data using non-parametric and Wilcoxon test, we found that FGF23 level in female patients were decreased. Estrogen hormones may be related to the FGF23 metabolism. Indeed, estrogen hormones are reported to increase PTH, parathyroid hormone, and FGF23 levels. Since female patients in the present study were mostly over 50 years old and experienced menopause, so decreases in estrogen levels may decrease FGF23 levels. It will be interesting to quantitatively investigate the sex difference in FGF23 levels.
Thomas?
Well, I wondered in clinical reality, I mean, patients always have a lot of other medications, co-medications. I think especially your patient cohort is also probably getting medications, and not all people necessarily get the same medication. So I just wondered if you had the chance to look a little bit in more detail whether any type of medication could also have an effect on the FGF23 levels.
Yeah, that's a very important question. We have checked the interaction between medications and FGF23 levels. Univariate analysis showed that beta blockers, ACE inhibitors, loop diuretics, or aldosterone antagonists have a relation to FGF23 levels. And multivariate analysis show that loop diuretics only affect FGF23 levels among all of medications. Loop diuretics may induce hypercalcemia, which secondarily increase FGF23 levels in such patients. We should focus on this matter because loop diuretics and the thiazide are different in cardiovascular event, different impact on the cardiovascular event because thiazide diuretics are reported to decrease phosphate levels that decreases FGF23 levels. So a direction of the loop diuretics and thiazide diuretics are completely different from the viewpoint of FGF23 metabolism.
So Masafumi, if I may, yeah. I'm much more of a mechanistically oriented person. And I was just wondering from your studies, if FGF23, do you think it has a direct effect on the heart in terms of remodeling, maybe fibrosis, or do you think it's just merely a circulating biomarker that maybe predicts something about ejection fraction, but not necessarily has a direct effect on the heart?
Oh, that's also a very good question. Now, recently in a 2011 JCI paper showed that FGF23 induces cardiac hypertrophy. They injected FGF23 to the rat or mice heart directory and found that FGF23 increases cardiac mass and also fibrosis. So we believe that FGF23 has an impact on the heart function and clinical outcomes. And because we found that elevated ejection fraction and hospitalization due to heart failure are related to high FGF23 levels. Therefore, we are working on the basic research using the cardiac cells and FGF23 receptor stimulation. And another point is that FGF23 may have a possibility to become a biomarker of renal and cardiac function, as you indicated, although we need to further investigate the molecular basis of FGF23 and FGF23 receptors.
So, if I may, I also would have another question, and that again is about clinical reality. For people working in the hospital, it would be nice to have an available kit that they can use to measure this important new marker. How do you think the next steps are, and when do you think such a kit would be available to the clinicians?
Indeed, in Japan, we sell Kyowa Kirin. Drug company sells the kit for the FGF23 measurement. It's kind of a cost is very high, $100 for one sample, per one sample, but the kit is available. So if you measure the FGF23 more and more, the price will get down and down, I guess. So it's available right now in Japan.
So Thomas, listening to this really intriguing study on FGF23 and the promising results and even almost the clinical reality of this new biomarker. Knowing that you're a clinician scientist and actively involved in identifying, discovering new biomarkers on top of the existing biomarkers, what do you see is the development of a biomarker panel maybe for heart failure, Thomas?
Yeah, Leon, thanks for the question. First of all, I mean, I would like to comment on the specific syndrome that was investigated by the main author here, and this is the cardiorenal syndrome. And I think especially for that, we currently in the clinics don't have very good biomarkers or so. We have markers for cardiac syndromes such as heart failure or renal failure, etc. But markers that are more specific for the combined cardiorenal syndrome are relatively rare, and I could imagine that FGF23 levels could add here. What needs to be done for sure, and I think that's always clear in these early biomarker studies, that there needs to be larger cohorts, repetitions, standardization of the assays, etc., before such a marker could be available. So whether this marker also could add to the available biomarker, specifically in heart failure, that's I think it's an intriguing question, but that's studies that have to be done in the future, and there needs to be well-planned diagnostic heart failure cohort studies where on top of the existing usual markers such as BNP, etc., you would add measurements of that specifically marker FGF23, and then we need to see whether this adds beneficial data in terms of diagnosis, but maybe also for prognosis of such patients.
I think it's time to wrap up the podcast. I would like to thank Masafumi Kitakaze and Thomas Thum for this stimulating scientific discussion. During this podcast, we heard how Masafumi's prospective study on circulating FGF23 in non-ischemic patients with early chronic kidney disease correlated with a higher incidence of heart failure hospitalization. Now, this is important work as we currently lack any biomarker in the clinic that could predict renal dysfunction in heart failure patients. We learned that ischemic conditions, inflammation, or any stress to the kidney might also influence circulating FGF23, whereas age and gender in this particular study likely did not. Among the many medications taken by heart failure patients, only loop diuretics seem to have an independent effect on circulating FGF23, which makes sense if the kidney is the main source of this biomarker. Quite unexpectedly, circulating FGF23 might act through specific receptors on the heart and more directly reduce ejection fraction in patients than previously thought. A deeper understanding of its biological mechanisms in both kidney and the heart will undoubtedly facilitate clinical acceptance of this biomarker for renal dysfunction in patients with a cardiac condition. For this, we look forward to read and learn more from Masafumi's team in the near future. And with that, I give the word back to Kara.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.